this Florida springtime weather. It's a blessing, but you've all been so kind, except for two of you, and you know who you are. But no, everybody's been a real blessing. The Raines family are a delight, and many of you I've not met before, but been a blessing to get to know you, and then some of you haven't seen in a long, long time. You got to be careful saying old friends, long-time friends, but it's a real joy and a blessing to be here among you. And I'm impressed. I was told who's responsible, but to be in an outdoor meeting with two speakers and have such good sound for your music, I'll tell you, that's God's really given somebody a real talent, and that's a real blessing. And the singers have all been great. I like people that sing, and when they're done singing, you're thinking about the Lord, not them. Yeah. And we've had that all week this week. It's been a real blessing. Thank God for it. So I got one more hunting story for you guys. Group old boys in Alabama, they went out paired off for a 2x2 for the day, and that night, Bubba made it back, just Bubba, by himself, staggering under the weight of an 8-pound buck. But his partner Henry wasn't with him. And the guy said, "Where's Henry?" And Bubba said, "Well, he had a heart attack or something back there in the woods." He said, "Bubba, you left Henry laying out there in the woods and drug the deer back?" He said, "Well, it's a tough call, but I figured nobody's going to steal Henry." That might be a true story. I don't know. Acts chapter 16 tonight, a passage that you know very, very well. But I want to give you a long introduction to a very, very short message. And I hope the message will be one that you'll remember long after I'm gone, long after the dust has settled on this camp meeting. And honestly, brother, sister, I don't see any hope at all in a Democrat party, a Republican party. I don't see any hope at all in conservative or liberal. If we could get enough people saved, they'd live right and they'd vote right. We're trying to get lost people to live like saved people, and that's not possible. We need to get lost people saved. And we all lament. We lament the shrinking sizes of congregations and churches that seem to be drying up and dying. But the Lord didn't say go to church. It's not the first thing he said. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then people get saved, then they come to church. And we're waiting for lost people to come to church. I was lost. I didn't have any interest in going to church. Did you? So the church needs to go to the lost people. Anyway, I don't want to give away the whole message tonight. You might sneak out while I'm praying. Father, help us tonight. Father, I pray you'd help me to say what you once said in the way that you would have it said. I pray, God, we'd honor and magnify Jesus Christ, that we would receive these words as they are in truth, the living words of the living God that might have effect upon our lives. In Jesus' name I pray and amen. Amen. I envy all of you young men in your 20s, on fire for God, excited and ready to do what us old men didn't do, ready to accomplish what we didn't accomplish, ready to knock them dead because we didn't knock them dead. And I appreciate that. I hope you hang on to that as long as you possibly can.
Sure.
And those of you that are staggering toward the finish line, I'm glad you're still going.
Amen.
I appreciate that. The reality of this thing is a little bit different than I thought it would be when I started preaching at the age of 19. I was pretty sure God was going to have me replace Billy Graham. Somebody had to do it. But nobody did. And I was pretty sure the Lord was going to use me to turn at least one town completely around for Jesus Christ.
Right,
and maybe he will, but it hadn't happened yet.
Right, amen.
But I want to show you a little something here from Acts 16, from a story you know, and I hope God will help me to bring it out. The scripture says in verse number 6, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And the reason for that, the Bible says that God didn't want his apostles laying a foundation where another man had laid a foundation. He didn't want everybody going to the same place. So one man went this way and one that way and one another way. And when somebody tried to go where the word was already being preached, the Lord said, no, I need you over here. So with that being said, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And you young fellows, let me say one more thing to you. When you read these names in the Bible, just read them confidently, and everybody will think that's how they're pronounced. You don't have to.
Right.
Don't slow down or stumble. Just put it out there.
Right.
And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him. This man is begging Paul, pleading with Paul, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Here's what I want to know. When God speaks to your heart on a Sunday morning, is there an immediately that follows that? When God shows you something in your Bible and you're reading it on a Tuesday afternoon, is there an immediately that follows that? It's great to have Sunday morning service and Sunday night service and five nights in the tabernacle for a camp meeting. Praise the Lord.
Sure.
But I'll tell you, a lot of folks hear the word of God and there's no immediately. And a lot of people get preached to and there's no immediately. And when the Holy Spirit gave Paul this vision, he didn't say, well, next month. He didn't say in a year. He didn't say when there's a convenient time. He said to the man traveling with him, he said, we got to get to Macedonia. There's a man in Macedonia that wants our help. God wants us to go there and preach the gospel. I wish in all of our lives, in all of our churches, there was an immediately.
Amen.
An immediately. Amen. We know so much. When are we going to do something with it?
Yeah, right.
God showed us so many things. When are we going to act upon it? Well, there they went. Therefore, loosing from Troas, you got to turn something loose to go do what God wants you to do.
Amen.
We came with a straight course to Samothracia. Don't be wandering around the right hand and left hand. Just get straight at it.
Good.
Next day to Neapolis and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. So they figured, well, if there's a man in Macedonia that wants to hear the gospel, let's go where the most people are. Let's go to the chief city, the largest opportunity. And so there they are in Philippi. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So it's a resort. They're down by the riverside on the day off. And what did these men do? They didn't wait and build a building in Philippi and hope people came. They went where people were and began to tell them about Jesus Christ. They're looking for that man of Macedonia. They said, well, it'd be a big crowd down by the water on the Sabbath day. Right? Don't you wish many people went to church on Sundays, went to the lake, or went to the beach, or went to a ball game? I ride by these places. I'm going to preach a meeting or going to our church, and I'll ride by a little league field or ride by a Walmart, and I get jealous. I tell the Lord, I said, Lord, someday I'd like to see as many people in our parking lot as in the world's parking lots. Someday I'd like to see as many people pulling up to hear the word of God, pulling up to sing songs about Jesus as they are pulling up to hit a ball or buy something in the store. Maybe one day if we keep at it. So verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Let me say something to you, brother, sister. In our church, I hope in yours, we teach the truth about false religion so people can know. And the truth about false doctrine so people can know. But when we go out in that world to preach the gospel, if somebody tells me they go to such and such a church, or they belong to such and such a religion, or they've been baptized over here, or they sing in the choir over there, listen, don't get angry, don't get upset. That's somebody who believes in God. You got a head start. That's somebody who's got a heart for the Lord. That's a head start. Man, I'd rather run into somebody that's in a bad church than an atheist. I'd rather run into somebody that's confused about God and confused about the gospel, but worships the Lord and fears the Lord, than somebody just curses and blasphemes his name. Paul didn't say, oh, listen, you're completely wrong about God. No, he said, well, this is great. You believe in God? Let me tell you what he did for you.
Yeah.
And introduced her to Jesus Christ. And she attended. She's already there, but she's attended. She paying attention to what Paul's saying. And when she was baptized, and we know he wouldn't have baptized her if she didn't believe. And her household. She besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Well, what a happy report.
Yeah.
God calls this man to go to Macedonia. And immediately this man goes to Macedonia. And when he gets to Macedonia, he finds a group of people. And when he finds that group of people, he tells them about Christ's death and Christ's burial and Christ's resurrection. And they believe it and they get baptized. Amen. Praise God. My pastor brother, did you not say to your wife over the dinner table, we're rolling now. It's going now. God's moving now. Praise the Lord, something's about to happen here. Those are great times. Great times. Be great if they turned out like you thought they were going to. But they're great times. Well, people go to the mission field, they finally get through that deputation, they get on that airplane, they fly over there, and they find them a house, and they find them a building, they go out and start telling people about Jesus. I've got a friend, he went to Japan back in the 1960s, and he said, I was knocking it dead. Nearly everybody I talked to bowed their head, prayed a prayer. I gave them a New Testament. I'm writing letters home about all the people that are coming to Christ. And he said, then I got into their houses. And there's a mantle full of idols and a mantle full of gods and goddesses and the New Testament's up there with them. And he said, man, did that put the brakes on everything? And I said, you did not understand the gospel if you got that New Testament up there as one more idol and one more shrine. All those others got to go, and this one's got to stay. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. We have seasons in our church when the tide is coming in, and people are getting saved, and relationships are getting patched up, and you just think, we're starting up this hill. We're going all the way to the mountaintop.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Verse 16, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, you know these fellows aren't doing anything wrong. They're where God sent them, being led by the Holy Spirit of God, preaching the gospel, winning souls, baptizing converts, having prayer meeting. It came to pass, we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, why would the Lord let somebody like that get in the middle of what he's doing? Why would the Lord let somebody with an unclean spirit, somebody with a divining spirit, get right in the middle of this missionary work of God in Philippi?
Right, yeah.
Have you not gone to God in prayer and said, Lord, it was going so good. Where'd that come from? Lord, it was going so good. Who is this person? Lord, it was going so good, and this family seems intent on tearing it all to pieces.
Sure.
I'm not trying to bring you down tonight. We're talking realistically here.
Sure.
The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. He said, now, preacher, I don't understand. Weren't they the servants of the Most High God? Sure they were. Weren't they showing the way of salvation? Sure they were. You know what Paul knew? You know what Paul said? We don't need the devil's music to do God's work. We don't need the devil's dress code to do God's work. We don't need the devil's compromises to do God's work. We don't need Satan's way of living with Christian's way of living. Even if you're saying the right thing, you're not the right thing, and this isn't going to work together.
Right.
Brother, I'm going to tell you something. As soon as souls start getting saved, as soon as you start baptizing people, as soon as your church starts growing, people want to join themselves to a place where something's happening. They want to join themselves to a place where there's some life and some activity and some joy and a glow, but all those people don't belong there. All those people aren't a help to you. Had you enjoyed singing God's praises this week? Had you enjoyed the singers that have sung this week? We don't don't need people half undressed in a rock band up here trying to get you to dance in the aisles to worship God. So some of those songs are about Jesus. Maybe they are. You know, if this camp means 63 years old.
Amen.
You know, if something was a sin the first year of this camp meeting, it's still a sin now.
Amen.
You know, if something was wrong year one, it's wrong year 63. Amen. If something was right according to Bible in 63 years ago, it's right tonight. We got a lot of people trying to join themselves to us, and they say they're with us, they say they're on our side, but they got a different spirit. Paul said that spirit, you got to go. You got to go. He'd tell that woman to get lost. He told the spirit she had to get out of there. Well, anyway, he's come to Macedonia, and Lydia got saved. He's come to Macedonia, and some women by the river got saved. He's come to Macedonia, and a damsel got a spirit cast out of her. But we still hadn't found that man of Macedonia. There's a man in Macedonia said, come help me. They hadn't found him yet. Verse 19, when their masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them in the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. You know what I didn't know? In my youthful zeal, in my newborn enthusiasm, in my brand new Christian life, you know what I didn't know? I didn't know that if I did right and served God the way God asked me to serve him, I didn't know he'd let people lie about me. I was not expecting that. Weren't of you here surprised to find out that after you dedicated your life to Christ and answered a call to preach and joined a church and took a Sunday school class, that people started saying things about you that just weren't true, and God didn't drop them dead? God, at least he didn't shine a light on them in the middle of the church service, say, hey, everybody, they're lying about the preacher. Paul's being lied about. They haven't caused any trouble in that city. What did they do? They didn't loot a store. They didn't set a police car on fire. What trouble? They told a girl who had a spirit in her, they told the spirit to get out, and now the girl's okay. That's it. Exceeding trouble our city. But I want to ask you, Pastor, do the bartenders in your town even know your church is there? Do the dope dealers in your town even know your church is there? Does the abortion crowd even know your church is there? I'm not talking about politics. I want to know there's a Baptist church here and a Baptist church there and a Baptist church here and a Baptist church there, and they're not bothering anybody. I think it's time we started bothering our towns.
Amen.
Love, joy, peace, long. I'm not talking about being wicked or mean or doing anything wrong, but we ought to be causing a little bit of disturbance. Everybody else has come out of the closet. Why can't we?
Amen.
Everybody else is standing out in public waving a flag and saying, look at what I am. Why can't we do that?
Amen.
Amen. A fella can stand on a street corner and hold a sign that says car wash or buy a mattress or sell your gold. We ought to be able to stand out there and hold up something for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. If some wicked, ungodly person put filthy profanity on the bumper of their car, we ought to be able to put Jesus Saves on the back of our vehicle.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Somebody brag about being a deviant and a pervert and a reprobate and want the whole world to know it, we ought to be able to brag about being a Christian.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. When Paul came to town and people knew he was there, Paul brought the gospel to Philippi, and the people that believed it knew about it, and the people that didn't believe it knew about it.
Yep.
And I just think we spend too much time on the internet worried about Biden and Trump and Pelosi and the government.
Yeah.
Honestly, I know I say it too. You say, well, you say that all the time. I do say it all the time.
Amen.
Because instead of them bothering us, we ought to be bothering them.
Yep. Amen.
Your church ought to have a presence in your town. You know, when two people walk up a driveway, isn't it a shame that people in those houses think they're Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah. Yeah.
How come they don't think they're Bible-believing Baptists? Because we're just home having seminars about what's wrong with Jehovah's Witnesses. They said, these men exceedingly trouble our city. You ought to cause a little trouble. We're out there, I think it's last year, year before, we have fireworks show. We went to 6 different towns this year. We go to 10 or 11 different towns, give out gospel tracts at Christmas parades. Anything they got going, we're there. Daytona Speedway is about 30 minutes from us. I said, God didn't let me be like Billy Graham. I am like Billy Graham. I go to that speedway. I preach to 100,000 people in one afternoon.
Yep.
Now, they didn't come to hear me preach. They came to watch people drive 500 miles as fast as they could and end up right where they started. Guy on the headset. You're talking about an easy job. He's the guy on the headset saying, turn left, turn left, turn left. For 3 hours, man. Just left turn, left turn, left turn. I know some of y'all love that racing. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. But let me just... People don't like to shout in church, and you know, we kind of reserved even in a camp meeting. But you go to that Daytona Speedway, listen, they put 150,000 people in that stadium.
Yeah.
And there's some guy up here, he is 10 stories up in the air in a bleacher. There's a guy in a car down there, and the engine of that car is going, and he got a headphone on. There's a guy talking in the headphone, turn left, turn left, turn. And this guy up here is yelling, go, Dale! Go, Dale! He can't hear you. You think he'll just stick his head out the window and wave at you? So if you want to yell, go, preacher, that's all right. I'll hear you. All right, so they said they've seen trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. They don't have any idea what these men taught. Does it not surprise you people say things about your church who've never been to your church? Does it not surprise you people criticize the way you do things in your church? They've never set foot in that building one time. And you know what? The Lord didn't stop them. Now, if you're Paul, wouldn't you be standing there thinking, God, hello, this isn't true. You need to stop these guys. They're hurting my ministry. Have you not felt that way? Man, people used to have to go from house to house to slander preachers. Now they can go around the world without getting out of their chair. And you get on your knees and you pray, God, they're hurting my family. God, they're hurting our church. God, they're hurting our reputation. And you know what the Lord does about it? Pretty much nothing. I'm not trying to discourage you. Jesus is going to fix all this when he gets back. But in the meantime, you got to ride it out. Hang in there now. We're going somewhere.
Amen.
Not observed being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Are you kidding me? What did this man do? He didn't hit anybody. He didn't kick anybody. He didn't steal from anybody. He didn't murder anybody. He came to a town. He said words. Words that changed people's lives for the better, and they're going to beat them in the town square?
Yeah. Amen.
You ever take a beating for Christ? I haven't. Not yet.
Nope.
Not yet. Probably nobody here has taken a beating for Christ.
Amen.
But it's felt like it sometimes, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, when that man took his family out of the church and started trying to undermine what you were doing, would you not have rather he punched you in the face? I'm telling you, you didn't sign up for this, did you? You didn't know it was going to go this way, did you? You didn't expect it to be this difficult, did you? Stay with me. My father gave me some insight into these verses when I was just a little boy. Did you know that you can beat someone without taking their clothes off them and it will be just as effective?
Yeah.
My father taught me that blue jeans, corduroy, None of that is a match for a belt.
Amen.
None whatsoever. Why would they take the clothes off these men to beat them? They want to humiliate them. They want to shame them. They want to embarrass them. If we make you so ashamed, if we so humiliate you, you'll go away. You'll stop what you're doing. You'll never open your mouth again. Have you not, brother? I know you young guys starting out. I'm not trying to discourage you. This is the best life anybody could ever live.
Sure.
If I could start over again, I'd start over right where I did, just hopefully with a little better information. But have you not wondered why God allows your wife to sit up nights and weep and cry because of lies that have been told and things that have been done and the way your children have been hurt and the way your church is reputed? Have you not been humiliated?
Amen.
Have you not been put to shame?
Yes.
Well, what are you doing here? Stay with me.
Amen.
Stay with me. And the verse 23, when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Now, Paul, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a dream, a vision in the middle of the night and get you to Macedonia. To do what, Lord? Go to prison.
Yeah.
To do what, Lord? Get beaten with rods and cast into a jail. You guys do jail ministry?
Yeah.
Air conditioned. Jail ministry. Tile floor jail ministry. Cafeteria jail ministry. Plumbing jail ministry.
Great.
Weight room jail ministry. Laundry jail ministry. When Paul got thrown into prison, nobody'd cleaned those floors since they built the place. Nobody washed those walls since they built the place. He's not being given a clean jumpsuit and clean linens and three meals a day. He is being cast into a dirty, filthy, smelly, dark, vermin-infested pit.
Amen.
For doing what? Obeying the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For doing what? Serving his God with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind. Say, Brother James, I thought if I gave my life to Jesus Christ, it would go, well, it's not God's fault. You acted on what you thought instead of what God taught.
Amen.
Here's Paul. He's right in the middle of God's will.
Right.
But it sure don't look like God's will.
Right.
There he is. Cast into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. They're not treating them politely. And made their feet fast in the stocks. They chained these men to the floor by their ankles. A filthy, dirty, smelly floor. No medical care, no treatment for their wounds. They are ripped open. Their backs, the back of their legs, ripped open from the beating. 39 stripes with a rod. And now they're sitting them down in the filth and the mire and the insects in the middle of the night. And at midnight, Lord, help me with my complaining. Lord, help me with my sad stories.
Amen.
And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Which means they are not praying silently. They are not whispering a little prayer. They are not murmuring. They are lifting up their voices in prayer to Almighty God, and they are singing in their pain and in their darkness and in those terrible conditions and in their confusion. They are singing like you sang here tonight. They are singing like these families sang up here on this platform. Why? Because they didn't forget why they came to Macedonia. They came to find a man that needed Jesus, and they hadn't found him yet. So they're still praying. And they're still praising, and they're still singing, and they're still optimistic.
Yeah.
Why? Because they might be surprised by what men have done, but they're still hoping to see what God is going to do.
Yeah.
Brother, I know you're here tonight, so you might not even need this message.
Sure,
but all that you've been through, I'm glad you're still singing.
Yeah.
all that's confused you, I'm glad you're still praying. All the times you thought, here we go, and instead of going forward, it looked like you went backward. I'm glad you're still going.
Yeah.
Thank God. They sang. They prayed. The prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Earthquakes don't unlock chains. Earthquakes don't open doors. This is a divine miracle. This is God shaking that prison in honor of those men's songs and prayers and faith and confidence.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Now wait a minute. Here's some ladies on a beautiful Saturday afternoon by a flowing river with some pretty trees round about it, and they're worshiping God, and a man comes to tell them more about this God they worship. Of course they stayed. But these jailbirds, these inmates, their chains are off. The door is open. They can see all the way to the street. And none of them left.
Amen.
Nobody made a break.
Hallelujah.
Nobody made a run for it.
Praise God.
You know what happened that night? Those guys heard something they'd never heard before. They sensed something they never sensed before. They were in the presence of men that had something in their lives and something in their heart that all their crime and drugs and street running and rebellion and doing their own thing never did for them. And they said, "We could get out of prison tonight, but let's stay and hear some more from these fellas." Praise God. Aren't you glad Paul and Silas didn't forget why they came to town? Have you forgotten why you came to town? Have you forgotten why you rented that building? Have you forgotten why you bought those tracts? Have you forgotten why you made that prayer list? Have you forgotten why you asked God to help you preach His word?
Amen.
Well, you don't know what they said about me. I probably do. Well, you don't know how they treated me. I've probably been through it. You don't know how I've been humiliated. You don't know how badly I've been treated. You don't know what we've done without. Yes, but you still got your song.
Amen.
Still got your hope.
Amen.
You're still speaking up. God shook that place and nobody left. Verse 29, then he called for a light. Who could blame a man for wanting a cigarette in a time like that?
Listen.
I'm sorry. My wife says you just derailed sermons when you do those things. Then he called, that's all you'll remember about the message. Then he called for a light and sprang in, didn't drag in, he ran in. He couldn't wait to get there and see what was going on. And came trembling. That ground wasn't the only thing shaking that night.
Amen.
That jail wasn't the only thing shaking that night. He came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. They had to get through lying. They had to get through false accusations. They had to get through humiliation. They had to get through a beating. They had to get through vermin. They had to get through filth. They had to get through pain to come face to face with the man of Macedonia.
Amen.
Brother, don't forget why you came.
Amen.
Sister, don't forget why you came. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. There must be one more soul to be saved, or the church wouldn't be here. There must be one more life to be rescued, or we'd be raptured by now. And there he is, the man of Macedonia. And he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, can I read something into the passage? If you disagree with me, that's all right. Somebody's got to be wrong. It'll be you. Can I read something in the passage tonight? if they were singing a song about woe is me, wouldn't that man say, tell me about your woe? If they were singing a song about I've been treated so bad, wouldn't he come in there and say, tell me about how bad you've been treated? Why would that man say, what must I do to be saved? If they weren't praying loudly for prisoners to hear, God save the souls of these men. God, let these men come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Why else would he ask that question? The only reason he would say, what must I do to be saved, is if he had heard somebody talking about being saved. Well, Paul just got to town. He must have heard it in the jail that night. Why would he say, what must I do to be saved, unless they'd been singing, redeemed how I love to proclaim it, saved by the blood of the Lamb? I think they were singing evangelistic gospel songs in the hearing of those Macedonian men. I think they were praying for the souls of men in that prison to come to Christ, because when that man sprang in, he asked the right question. What must I do to be saved? And you know the verse. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and anybody in your house can come with you. And the man of Macedonia got saved. The man of Macedonia got the help that he asked for. Brother, next week it'll be another problem. Brother, next month it'll be another crisis. Sister, 2 months from now it'll be another disappointment. Bad reports are coming. Conflict is coming. Disappointments are coming. People leave. People drop out. People say things. People post things. What I want to know is, why did you come to town? Yeah. Don't forget why you came to town. Yeah. You didn't come to town to change the magistrates. You didn't come to town to change the government. You didn't come to town to reform the prison system. You didn't come to town to clean up what was dirty. You came to town to find people that needed Jesus Christ and introduce them to Jesus Christ. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't forget why you came. Paul, they're lying about us, Silas. We're looking for a man of Macedonia. Paul, they're saying terrible things about us. Silas, we're looking for a man of Macedonia. We hadn't found him yet. Paul, they're tearing the clothes off of us. Well, I guess we won't need them to find that man of Macedonia. Paul, it hurts, Paul. Yeah, I know, but maybe that's the man of Macedonia. Just bear up, son, bear up. Keep going. Amen. Threw him in the prison and chained him to the floor. And Silas said, what do we do now? Paul said, take out your hymnal. Sing glory to his name. Amen. Lift up your voice and preach the gospel. Yes.
Amen.
God began to shake that place and God began to work. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many times have you quit? How many times have you wanted to quit? How many times have you told God he wasn't managing your life just right? Why'd you go to that town? Why'd you rent that building? Why'd you take that pastorate? Why'd you start that bus route? Why'd you agree to teach that Sunday school class? Why'd you take those tracts home, put them in your car? Well, I didn't know this was going to happen. There's a lot of things still going to happen you don't know is going to happen. But don't forget. Don't forget why you came to town. To shake it up. The Bible says in verse 32, they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway.
Yes.
When he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. How about that?
Amen. Glory.
I might be completely off base. We have men in our church, good men, godly men. They've worked for years and years and years in the prison. It'll harden your heart.
Yep.
You hear that language and you're in that environment, and some of you Praise God, thank God you're saved, you spent time in there. That's not a very nice place to be. And one morning, there's a man walking up to the front door, and he opens the door, and his wife just shudders. And the kids run off to their bedrooms because daddy's home. But this morning he walked in with a smile on his face, walked over to his wife, threw his arms around her, said, "Honey, you're not going to believe what happened to me at work tonight. You're just not going to believe what happened to me at work tonight." She looked and said, "Who are these two filthy, smelly men with bloody clothes on and mud all over their feet?" And he walked over. He said, "These are my brothers." She said, "You've been drinking." Oh, no. Sit down. Paul, is that what you said your name was? Paul, come here. And Seymour, what? No. Oh, what? Silas, come here. Honey, sit down. Get the kids. Kids, come in here. Sit down here at this table. Tell them what you told me.
Amen.
Tell them what you told me.
Amen.
Tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
He's holding her hand. She thought, "He hadn't held my hand in years." He's looking at those children. He's got his hand on the back of their head, patting them on the back. What's got into daddy? And Paul said, "Jesus Christ went to a cross and died for you and for you and for you. And 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose alive." And he changed your daddy's life. And he'll do the same for you. And before long, a saved woman is serving breakfast to two missionaries.
Amen.
And her saved children are helping wash their wounds. And a man who woke up that morning, or woke up the previous morning on his way to a devil's hell, is a newborn child of God.
Amen.
You know why? Because the preacher didn't quit.
Amen.
You know why? Because the missionary didn't give up. You know why? Because somebody who got a really, really bad time didn't let it stop them.
Yep.
Brother, everything's been said about you. Sister, everything that's happened to you, all the hurt, all the embarrassment, all the hardship. If you could come here next year and have a family sit down in that row, and you look over there and say, "A year ago they didn't know Jesus."
Yep.
And last fall, they got saved. Last spring, they came to revival meeting, got born again. Wouldn't you say a year from now, wouldn't you stand up and say, "I'm glad I didn't quit"?
Amen.
Wouldn't you stand up and say, "I'm glad I didn't forget why I came"?
Hallelujah.
Everything Paul suffered, everything Silas endured, I guarantee you they knew it was worth it that morning. They sat there at that table and saw that newborn family saved by the grace of God.
Yep.
Saved by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I honestly, from my heart, I did not understand what I was getting into. But brother, whatever you have experienced, I understand. Whatever has discouraged you, hurt you, broken your heart, harmed your family, I understand, and I'm sorry. I am truly sorry. But aren't you saved?
Amen.
Don't you have eternal life?
Amen.
Hasn't Christ given you his Holy Spirit to keep you to the day of redemption?
Yes.
Isn't the gospel still the good news?
Yes.
Don't we still know 100 songs worth singing?
Yes.
Come on, brother. Don't let the world win. Don't let the enemy win.
Amen.
Don't forget why you came to town. Verse... I could stop there, but I want to show you one more thing, because to me it's really a blessing. 35, when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." And Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeant told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. Now here's why I want to read you that last point. What those men did to Paul was completely wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
They violated their own laws.
Yes.
They transgressed their own codes. They disobeyed. They shouldn't have done what they did. And how many times have you said to your wife, how many times have your teenagers said to you, but they're wrong, but they shouldn't be doing what they're doing? Did you come to town to get treated right? Or did you come to town to find a man of Macedonia and help him?
Yep.
Did you come to town to have everybody treat you the way they should? Or did you come to town to see a family changed forever by the grace of God?
Yep.
Brother, tonight, sister, tonight, I'm not trying to trick you into having a big crowd at the altar, but I really believe in this day and time in which we live, most of you have thought about just throwing in the towel because of how people have treated you.
Yes.
You know what the Lord wants you to do? Get your mind back on how He's treated you.
Yep.
He's been very good to you.
Yes.
Let's not forget why we came. Let's stand to our feet. People are coming to the altar already.